Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and I'm joined by the Nation United leadership team. Once again, this is a conversation that we had in 2018 as well as in 2017. Really exciting. And we wanted to have this conversation before the lacrosse season got underway in earnest, because there are a variety of topics to discuss in the wheelhouse of the Nation United ecosystem. Certainly on the heels of the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day on Monday, as well as 2 weeks ago, having both a diversity and inclusion conversation at the 2019 U.S. Lacrosse Convention, in which I took part, and then certainly the incident of racial insensitivity and more that followed Lyle Thompson's experience as the Georgia Swarm beat the Philadelphia Wings in the Wells Fargo Center, and the subsequent firing of PA announcer Shawnee Hill in reaction to his comment. There's a lot to discuss, but we're going to start with that because I think that, you know, it's interesting. And Tommy, I'll throw it to you first. Thomas Stallworth, part of this Nation United leadership team. When I set the table for this diversity and inclusion conversation at LaxCon, in which four kind of notable members of the lacrosse community shared their experiences, I framed it around the notion of in January 2018, it felt like a conversation about racial sensitivity and inclusivity within the sport of lacrosse was reaching a boiling point. And because of a relative lack of these types of incidents getting high-profile attention in recent months, it didn't feel like it was as much of an emergency as it had 365 days before. And then that night, this incident occurred. And I know you've got strong feelings about it, so I just kind of want to hear, what were your thoughts, both when you saw Lyle's tweet and then the subsequent story that unfolded?
First, thanks for having us back. Thanks for the question, and thanks for kind of continuing a conversation that obviously we think is really important, and hopefully the lacrosse community is seemingly starting to feel the same way. I will say, I think obviously the topics of diversity and inclusion are important topics, and important to educate the lacrosse community at large. I'm framing it that way because I'll say my initial reaction to Lyle's tweet and hearing what happened at the arena, I didn't really feel much about education. You know, I kind of felt it was a red line, if you want to call it that. I mean, you can educate children, you can educate teenagers, you can educate, young men, but when adult males and adult women make comments that are glaringly across the line, especially, people that are public speakers at public events, I find it really hard to rationalize that it was a mistake or you didn't know better. So to me, the follow-on final reaction of the removal of that announcer, I felt was the right call. One, because the league is essentially drawing the red line and saying, yes, we're about education, yes, we're about inclusion, and yes, we are not going to tolerate this type of behavior. And I think that has to be a focal point. Like, we can talk about it all we want, but you have to somewhere say, okay, look, when this happens, what are we going to do? Besides talk, what is going to be the follow-on repercussions for people that engage in behavior that we think is not appropriate and just wrong across the board and in the sport?
And Brian Dawson, I know that you've got feelings on this as well, and maybe a little bit in contrast to Thomas's.
Yeah, and I think I used the word contrast when we were having a conversation earlier. I'd almost characterize it as complementary. In other words, I agree with the fact that there are certain incidents that we collectively as a community need to take a stronger unified stance against. Again, to repeat what Tommy said, is there are some more egregious incidents that take necessitate a slightly different reaction than I'd say some of the incidents that we are all aware of that occurred over the course of 2018. And by the way, I've spent some time going through and tracking those incidents. And I think it's interesting to share that we've had sort of racially related incidents happen at roughly, public racially related incidents happen at roughly a rate of one every 40 days in 2018. So they happen. Some of those were less severe. And we do need a stronger, unequivocal response to some of the more egregious incidents. But I do also think it's important that along with the visceral and strong reaction, we use these incidents as an opportunity to build and establish a platform and consensus where the whole community is comfortable speaking out and engaging, not just a small group that feels offended. To get to that, it does, in my opinion, require that you do take an approach to building a dialogue, and you do take an approach where you educate people that wouldn't necessarily understand why that is so offensive, why it is offensive. And then we move to a place, look, the incidents are going to happen, but we want to move to a place where it's not just minorities in lacrosse or a fringe group that speaks up about this, because if that's all it is, change is going to be forced. It's not going to evolve, right? We want everybody speaking with a unified voice. And to me, you know, I'm not in a situation to debate the intent of the announcer. But what I am very close to in my experience in lacrosse is how it's received and the impact. And the impact is yet another incident that projects to, you know, what someone called non-traditional players or minority groups in the sport, that they're not welcome. And we have to do a better job of signaling that this sport is for everybody.
Troy Kemp, I'm going to direct this question to you, because I'm interested in your perspective on the basis of your role as the head coach of the Macaulay School. Thomas talked about the notion of education for young people and how as folks get older, the use of ignorance or the excuse of ignorance becomes less valid. I'm interested in how you had, you know, how you talk to your players, you know, the young folks that you're around about this incident relative to the fact that it's pretty realistic, I would assume, that they might not have fully understood exactly why snip the ponytail was an offensive comment. What was their reaction and how did you guys proceed the dialogue?
Okay, so I think being a high school coach, particularly a boys coach, gives you a perfect opportunity. It's a teachable moment here. I mean, it doesn't have to happen to you for you to use it. And for our players and for these young people, we have a perfect opportunity to, first of all, practice what we preach, because this is why the decision to remove the person from his position was important. I coach boys. I coach young men. And, you know, to the world, you know, men and boys are in a privileged position to some, and for depending on your socioeconomic income and so forth, you don't necessarily feel that way. But certainly, things don't move forward unless the people who are in position of power and privilege make moves and actually stand up themselves. And that's why having, you know, we talk to boys, we really talk about empathy. And honestly, it's something that's harder and harder to teach because they see examples of people in leadership positions and in key roles and influential positions at times that don't necessarily demonstrate it. And so you really have to work even harder to kind of undo things, because culture is seeping in through the windows, right? They have social media. They have access to information without context. And so when you have them in your midst as a coach, as an educator, you have to be intentional about addressing issues when they arrive. Because another thing is, if you have too much lag time between when something happens and when you respond, sometimes you miss that moment. So for us, we talk about these boys who are young men who will be going off to college and so forth. There are going to be things that are happening that happen to people who are not necessarily in a position of power or privilege. And for them to stand and to take action and use their voice on their behalf, they have to be able to connect and understand their position. And so I think this moment takes a person who they really look up to and saw what happens to someone who's at the top of his game, but he's at the bottom of somebody's list. And I think that's the thing that really crystallize it for them. When they actually see something happen or it, someone else experiences it, it becomes very real to them. And we just have to capture that fire and use it.
Yeah.
Jeremy, we'll kind of round out the conversation about this, you know, most recent moment of this diversity and inclusion topic in the sport of lacrosse bubbling to the surface with this. And you know, this is Jeremy Argy, the fourth member of the Nation United leadership team, who's on this call. One of the things that you're so good at is tracing the development. And U.S. Lacrosse Convention represents basically the two-year anniversary of the opportunity that you and I had to meet at the 2017 Lacrosse Convention and, you know, kind of build the foundation for these conversations ever since. And my question to you is, we talked about how almost coincidental it felt that this happened in that moment because, you know, there were signs of, you know, small incremental steps of progress. So what was your reaction to this topic and this issue over the course of the lacrosse convention weekend leading up to that night's game?
That's a great question. So I would say that it was, for me, it was ironic, obviously, because I just saw you host the diversity and inclusion panel discussion, and there was a lot of really good discussion about education, awareness, relationships, making sure that you're representing not only the yourself, but you're also representing the lacrosse community, you know, and all that you do. But the reality of it is we're all in different places. Right. And so when this happened and I woke up the next morning, I probably had, I don't know, 5 or 6 text messages that I missed from the night before. I wasn't really surprised. Was I disappointed? Yeah, absolutely. I was disappointed because we were talking about not only a person, but to Tommy's point, we were talking about an adult who is actually in position to influence other people at a specific point in time around this sport, right? A commentator, an announcer. And that's what happened that evening, because in addition to, you know, the ponytail incident, there was, you know, the mention of scalping Lau by, you know, a couple of onlookers or folks who were there watching the game. Fans. And so, and I don't know if in that case if you'd actually call those fans, but I think what you would want to do, and I think what has happened since then is, you know, this opportunity, I think everybody took it as an opportunity to educate younger folks. And as Troy mentioned, you know, he spends his time with young men. There are also young women out there, you know, who need to know what it means, you know, to have a ponytail as a Native American, or as someone who's indigenous to this country. And so I look at all of these scenarios as opportunities to educate and provide awareness. And so, honestly, I hate that it was Lyle. I hate that it happened. But I am glad to see the way that folks responded to it. And I do think that an immediate response, I think that there's no reason. Anybody who's in a position of leadership or influence, which we all have the ability to influence one another in a community as small as our lacrosse community, you know, we have a responsibility. When we see something, you say something, right? If you see something that's morally wrong, and forget about really, you know, partnerships and sponsorships, there's a way to say that this won't be tolerated without necessarily burning bridges. But to say nothing, right, only takes us back, right? It only takes us backwards. And so the progress that you mentioned that had been made prior to this incident, I don't think this erased or wiped out any of that progress. I think people of color in this sport and also in this country, We all understand that there is a lack of awareness, whether it is by choice or incidental, right? And so we do expect to see these things. unfortunately, at this point in time. We still expect to see new things, but how you respond to them, I think, is the most important thing. You know, as a lacrosse community, we responded the right way, and I think it's important that we continue to talk about this and other scenarios like it, whether it's something that's associated with our community, you know, the lacrosse community, or if it's something that's associated with a country at large. I think it's important to make sure that we take every opportunity to educate and create more awareness about these types of things. So that's my take on it.
I'd like to just jump in real quick because I know we're going to have to move off of this subject, but I also found in having discussions around this that there's a number of people in the community that aren't sure how to respond. They want to, they're a little hesitant on what's right. And you'll also see, you know, when we've had conversations with what I would call offenders, they're not sure how to respond. So, Jeremy, you brought up educate, and I just wanted to chime in that, you know, as a general pattern, right, I'd recommend from what I've seen that if you're in the community, you know, take a chance, step up, share commentary that it's wrong. So people understand and learn, and there is no question that this won't be accepted. If you're kind of the offender of the organization, which, you know, the NLL and Wings did good with this, apologize, right? Clearly not qualified with excuses. Act. Take punitive action, right? And that punitive action should be appropriate for what the offense is. Engage. Dialogue with impacted groups and listen to them. And then take on an ongoing process of education, right? Institute cultural competency training or the appropriate training within your organization, or take it yourself, and then activate, right? Realize that you have to do better at conducting outreach and engaging and supporting groups that promote diversity. So apologize, act, engage, educate, and activate.
To put a finer point on that point, Jeremy, you talked about the notion of fear around reacting, particularly if you're a stakeholder. And one comment that I want to spotlight is, so I have a little bit of sympathy for the Philadelphia Wings, given the fact that this was their second home game with this ownership group. This is a really, you know, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but this is not what they invested in the league to have happen. And I thought that it was really telling that the San Diego Seals owner, Joe Tsai, who was in almost exactly the same situation in terms of the runway that he's had in developing his team, his organization, his franchise, and who himself is a really influential person in the world of sports, 4 hours after Lyle's tweet, which was really fast relative to other people's reaction because it was late at night on a Saturday, tweeted, "There's no place for this in NLL. Lyle Thompson, we hear you." And if he has the courage to say that, given all the equity that he's put in to the sport and the closeness of the partners that are impacted by this, then certainly no one else has the excuse of fear of loss. Because, you know, there are very few folks who, you know, would have less to lose than him. So I think that's a worthwhile lesson for everybody to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, for your stakeholders if you're anyone who is looking to establish a business, grow a business, introduce something new to the lacrosse community, right? You want to know who your neighbors are. You want to know that your neighbors are upstanding, that they believe in some of the same things, some of the same principles, and not to say that they have to, but you at least want to know. And so when you have individuals like Joe Tsai who stands up and says, hey, I'm not going to stand for this, or I don't believe that this is right, it lets all of his patrons and any future potential patrons know exactly what and who he is and what his brand and what his organization represents. If anything, you're going to attract more of the, you know, the types of individuals that you want participating, you know, with your business and supporting your business than if you did not say anything. And so I commend him, and that's a very good, very good point that you brought out, the fact that you had someone like Joe who stepped up and said, hey, look, this is the line that we're taking on it. So,
Well, so like I said, I wanted to broaden the conversation kind of away from the last couple of weeks and more focused on Nation United and all the work that you guys are doing, because, you know, one of the things that on pretty, you know, consistent increments I hear is folks that, you know, are two to three degrees separated from the work that you do, whether it's, you know, the team or some of the other functions of the entity, pointing to you as a symbol for progress or a reason, a cause for optimism. And I think it's helpful to hear how that has kind of continued to parlay itself, because one of the things that's clearly going on is, you know, your group's willingness to think big. And so, Tommy, it's been a while since we've heard from you. I was hoping that you could kind of give us a little bit of a rundown of, you know, kind of what's on the horizon.
So right now, as you know, Terry, we're still two teams, upper class, underclass team. We've been trying to make a concerted effort on expanding. However, that is challenging, just considering we're mission-based, how we want to do it. And to be honest, we're not necessarily trying to get into the full-service club space, but it may be leaning in that direction. This summer, we're taking our first U19 team to Vail. So that will be a really good time, be composed of all of our 2019 players and a mix of 2020s as well, a couple of new guys, and that team will look, you know, just like the majority of our teams look. I mean, I would argue that team might be the most diverse team we've hosted. I mean, we've got, you know, three Native American kids on the team, obviously a fair amount of African American kids, Asian kids, white kids. It should be really special. Looking forward to that. Taking the two teams at IL again this summer. And following that, we'll be hosting our first kind of three-day skill development higher-level camp, and that'll be in Baltimore also. And that's called the Nation United Experience. Be pretty much all the things we're all about. You know, Troy will do some talks with parents. Chaz, Pat Young, Isaiah Davis Allen, TJ Kemp, a few others will be coaching the boys, mainly on, you know, style of play. I wouldn't say specific to us, but definitely leaning towards the way we like to play. So, you know, two-way midfielders, poles that can push in transition, just kind of get up and down the way our teams normally like to play. And then following that, we are, I would say, investigating doing a regional team with the location to be determined. And so that's kind of what's on the docket for 2019 from a team perspective. Jeremy has a ton of stuff with the foundation going on, but from an actual just lacrosse on the field perspective, that's the stuff we have coming up this summer.
Yeah, in addition, just to add, we've, as you know, because you were there, right? You were there at the summit this summer to videotape for us, and we appreciate that. But we've introduced our women's team. They played in their very first tournament this past October in Bel Air, Maryland. Did really well. So they're trending in the same direction as our men's program in terms of success on the field. We're in the process of trying to introduce the same what we consider impact events and opportunities for our players off the field and parents. And so we will be introducing more of that. This summer, they will play at Lake Placid, the beginning of August. And so we're also in the process now of rostering and finding talent at the 2021 and 2022, or in the 2021 and 2022 classes. So Nikki Williams and Christy Boyles, along with Artie West and Jenny Collins-Vela are really, you know, doing a lot of good things in the women's program.
So, Troy, I want to kick it back over to you, because one of the things that I'm fascinated by as time has passed and you've been able to continue to develop these relationships and keep in touch with these Nation United alums is, how has it impacted the experience impacted the outlook and the, I don't want to be too
broad or too significant about it, but, you know, kind of even the emotional and psychological health and process of these alums as they go on and continue their career and develop as, you know, college lacrosse players and college students and folks that are continuing to take the next steps in life.
All right. So one of the things that we look at is, there's sort of two things that make, I think that makes United a very distinctive experience. You know, one is most clubs kind of focus on a player and the development of that player or the showcasing of that player's talents. You know, we really look at the mental side of what happens with the boys, but also what happens with their family. Because, you know, coaches are so instrumental. The real role of a coach is to be an amazing partner with parents in terms of nurturing the young man to becoming a full-grown man who has a spectrum of emotions. And I think the big thing that we provide, that we really try to equip them with is, you know, what is it like on the other side, you know, once you finally get in college? Because you're dealing with, these young men are dealing with a change in identity. I mean, yeah, they're excited about signing day, but the reality is everything, all the credit and credibility they used to have, they can't take that currency over the border, if you would. You know, they're starting in a brand new experience where they were, you know, the All-American in high school, and now they're amongst All-Americans. And that strikes the ego, especially for people who really feel they need to have a lot of control over their environment. That creates anxiety when you don't feel like you have control over your environment. And so for our young men, I think equipping them with strategies as to how to deal with that. Also understanding that even though, you know, many of them look forward to this Nation United experience because they feel like they're at home, if you would, on the field and with the coaches, you're going to go into a world where you have 43 to 50 other players on your team, in your family, within the family of the university that you attend, who may not have had the experiences and may not have a lot of empathy and may not have some of the tools that you have, and for our young men to kind of overcome their underdeveloped frontal lobe, right? It takes that boy's brain a long time to develop. So that impulsivity, they're on their fingers on the trigger just about everything. You know, how do you navigate that landscape? What do you do when you're not having a great day? Because boys typically internalize quite a bit. You know, what are strategies for them to sort of diffuse situations, conflict resolution? I mean, even when you're having a great day, what do you do in terms of trying to mentor someone else along? Because, you know, their world changes so dramatically. And the attrition rate for males the first year of college is unreal. It's unhealthy, actually, when you look at the trend. And so what can you do about it? They have an advantage because they're on a team, but they have to know how to play the cards that they're dealt. And I think it's a different hand. You know, you went from face card, regular 52-card deck to Uno or something. I mean, it's just changed. And so we have to teach them how to play that hand. And I think that's a very important part that's missing in most programs.
And so, you know, Brian, one of the things that Troy touches on is the notion of why this entire experience is important. And as we bridge from what you guys have done in terms of creating a team environment and experience as a foundation for a foundation, and that was an intentional pun, which we can hear from Jeremy on. Can you just, like, give us your point of view on why this is important?
Oh, man. Can we extend this episode another couple of hours? Jokingly, as we embarked on this journey, fundamentally on two different coasts in about 2014. Ended up converging in 2016 and becoming what is now Nation United, the gentleman that you talked to on this call. And I say, I think when we all started, I only had a fraction of an understanding of how important this was, right? I think we felt it as important. We knew it was important. And the reason why I joke about needing more time is because it's like an onion. We just keep peeling it back and finding on a number of different planes that this is more than the sum of its parts. It's more than what we could have envisioned. To try to break it down, I mean, one thing, segueing off of Troy, the boys are are, and the girls, the Nation United ambassadors, are going to embark on a new and challenging time. And the pit stop on their lacrosse journey of becoming a Nation United ambassador, participating with the team, and then building a network of like-minded people, some who are also look like them and have like experiences, is important that it I'm finding it helps to directly fortify them for this next level of the journey that they're taking on. And as a father, I'm seeing that feedback myself. And it's also important because where they may have not been directly or sort of internally fortified, there's this amazing, expansive network, right? I mean, I have had kids that were ambassadors that were out on internships in Manhattan and didn't have a place to stay. And a couple of texts and a couple of phone calls and people that didn't know each other or didn't know the young man and invited him in and he was sleeping on their couch, right? So there's a family that builds from it. So that's kind of for the player. I think it helps fortify them. For the parents, it also helps build a network where we can share information, we can share experiences, and we can help better navigate this, as well as I think it gives them kind of, I'd say, an emotional recharge and refresher. Because I won't go too much into it, but frankly, navigating an under-diversified sport as a minority can be grinding and take its toll on you. So sometimes you need to get in an environment like Nation United and get a emotional recharge. The other is what it kind of means publicly. And this is based on the external feedback we get. You know, one part of sort of the public importance is I do really see people reacting positively to this optic or this projection of a diverse lacrosse team that is excelling on and off the field and really getting the feedback that it changes their perception of the sport. It makes them want to get involved. It makes them recognize what the value of diversity is. And then what's really refreshing for me and a lot of our driver of our growth plan, our desire to touch more people, is, you know, I hear from parents of fifth and sixth graders that are like, you guys have to bring this to our age group. You have to bring it to the West Coast. My son or daughter needs this, like, emphatically. And we believe that. We feel that. We kind of feel like, to an extent, we're a service organization. And we want to go out and service and inspire as many people as we can. That type of feedback helps remind us of our North Star. It helps reinvigorate us and recognize that we're impacting people beyond just directly, you know, the teams that we are fielding. So, you know, and you'll hear more, I think you brought up, Terry, when we talk about sort of capitalizing on that importance and impacting a wider group of people when Jeremy talks about our plans with the Nation United Foundation.
So, Jeremy, why don't you pick it up, and we'll end there with the conversation about how it fits in and how people can get involved.
Absolutely. Now, so first of all, we're excited, and thank you, Terry, again, for just giving us this opportunity to come back and talk about the things that we're doing. The hope, quite honestly, through these conversations is that we, you know, live within our mission, which is to inspire other people at the core of it. Right, to do something different or do more of what they're doing right. Right. And so, and not to say that what we're doing is all right, but we just want people to look for that open white space and try to fill it as best they can. So our foundation will do that for us, right? As an organization, we've tried to avoid, although our mission is what it is, placing a burden of any sort on our players. And without arming them and educating them, the goals of our foundation will be really to research, to educate, to advocate, and to support. You know, we want to make sure that the decisions that we make on behalf of this organization and any of its stakeholders, you know, that it's based on research, right? Information that's founded tested and can be cascaded. And that part is where education comes in, making sure that we're providing information to other individuals, other organizations who understand the importance of diversity, or if they don't, they want to understand, right? And so we want to be able to educate through social media, face-to-face. We're going to put Troy and we're working with Dr. Jenkins and Keith Wolford and Chaz and some of these guys. We're going to put them on a speaking circuit and let them go out and spread some of this knowledge because they have a lot of it. But then also we want to make sure that we're advocating for what we stand for, advocating for diversity in this sport. And not only us, we also want to make sure that we're empowering people to be advocates for diversity in the sport and beyond, starting with our ambassadors. And then finally, we want to make sure that we're supporting the identity and spirit of all athletes associated with Nation United, as well as lacrosse. The mom, you know, as I was growing up, and I'm pretty sure everybody else got the same message, right? You always leave something better than you found it. And so at the end of the day, that's what Nation United aspires to do. And the Nation United Foundation will help lead the way as we step off of the field to do some of the things that we feel need to be done in order to achieve our mission of inspiring diversity.
Well, Tommy, Brian, Troy, Jeremy, we really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. Certainly helped to shed additional light and perspective on both recent events as well as where the organization is headed. As always, we enjoy your time. We wish you the best of luck, and we will talk to you again soon.
Inside the Cross Podcasts, the source of the sport.